Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you. We open our eyes and ears and hearts to you to hear your words, your insights, your ideas, your concepts. And we praise you for it. We receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. Now, don't forget, go to kcm.org/notes and get your note outlines for the broadcast. Do that every day, and all of the topic outlines are there. See, we finish this broadcast, and then the guys in editing and so forth, they get everything all put together and they go through everything we say, all of the scriptures, mm-hmm. and they put a outline everything mm-hmm. into a study form or if you're using it to teach from. And it's all there and it's free. No expense, no excuse. So go there and get it. You can get it right now. Praise God. Brother David, let's get right back in there. Let's take up where we left off yesterday and talking about the world's idea of work purpose. Mm-hmm. Why do I work? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you go do what you do? And why do you come back in the evening? Well, Brother Cole, I mean, come on, that's simple. I mean, you know, we got to have food on the table. We got to have clothes for the babies, and we got to have a place to live, and we got car payments. You can't get by in this society without one. Most of the time, two cars, because mama's got to work. You just got the whole thing wrong.
Yeah.
Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All that stuff be added to you. Mm-hmm. You mean to know how to work? You don't work, you don't eat. That's scripture too, you understand?
That's right.
Now, I didn't say we don't work. I'm talking about the reason.
The priorities.
The scripture says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands so that he has to give to him that needs. That's the key to your living, is your giving. That opens the kingdom of God. Now, wait a minute. The world's idea of a purpose for work, all those things that you just said, but it is taught commonly today. You don't want to take a job where you don't have any retirement. Oh, you mean my purpose is to work and then quit? I mean, that's all there is to this? Now, that'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kill your whole work life because mm-hmm. you never will have enough.
That's right.
And then, I mean, you could get four jobs and never sleep and never even get close to what God has planned for you. And you know, like a true word is, find out what God wants you to do, go get in it, you will love it, and you'll never go to work a day in your life because you'll be loving every day of it.
Ecclesiastes says it's a gift of God for a man to enjoy his work.
There it is.
And when you enjoy your work, it ain't work. And so I'll go 15, 16 hours a day. I'm working, but I'm loving it.
It's enjoyable.
That's right. You're on assignment. And at that point, and this is something that really, let's see how I want to explain this. I've had a real epiphany in several areas. And some of the greatest epiphanies I've had have come from a Jewish rabbi. This Jewish rabbi, I was called to testify at the U.S. Senate on global warming. So I'm going to show up there and I have all my testimony ready. And I called my rabbi friend and said, hey, before I do this, go over this with me. And so I went through my testimony and he said, well, let's kind of look at Genesis 1-3 for a minute. So he took me to a 30,000 foot view of Genesis. And I go, that is so easy. And so I had to go back through and change my testimony because he helped me rethink why God created the earth in the order he did. Why did he start with the inanimate first and go to the animate last? Why was there a sequence? And why is it that what created in day two is more important than what was created in day one and day three more important? And so the secular mindset goes the other way. They go from the animate to the inanimate. We're supposed to go from the inanimate to the... So in the world's view, the earth is more important than humans are. In God's view, Earth is important. Sixth day was important. That's where humans come in.
Oh, yeah.
And so in the world's
view, in the day
view,
He blessed them.
That's right.
That's what the whole thing was going
toward. Going toward that. Yeah. And then He says, now you guys are here to tend the earth. You subdue it. You put everything under your, you take control of everything. You make this productive. The way the world goes at it is they say, oh, man is the problem for everything. If we can get man out of the way, the earth will be great. It'll be, no. No, God did it the other way around. God put man over the earth, but today we put the earth over man. And said, well, you can't have that job because you might hurt the environment. You can't do that because you might affect the atmosphere. No, man's supposed to subdue all that and be over it. And so now we make the man to worship the creation rather than, so He helped me see through that, and mm-hmm. I hadn't even caught that myself. And so I go to Him with a lot of questions, and I ask Him a lot of things. He's a very wise man. And one of the things that He told me that it stuck with, you go back to what Jesus said in John 6:63. He said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit, they're life. If you go to what He said in Matthew 12:36, He says, you'll give account for every idle word you've spoken. So Jesus is not into idle words. He doesn't speak for the sake of hearing Himself speak. You're never going to hear Jesus say, oops, I didn't mean to say that. I mean, that's never going to come out of His mouth. Everything He says is life, is spirit, and there's purpose to it.
Spoken for effect.
Spoken for effect.
And not just to affect the way somebody thinks.
That's right.
But He speaks eternally.
That's right.
And He speaks the dominating power of the Word of God.
That's right. And it has its, and He told us way back in Deuteronomy 6 that everything I tell you is for your benefit, to keep you alive, to cause you to prosper and be healthy. So it's spoken for effect. And so since we know that Jesus is God, it's interesting. My rabbi friend said, you know, it's really significant that when God chose the first time to reveal Himself to man, He spoke to Adam and Eve, He spoke in Hebrew. Hebrew was the language He chose. So He doesn't waste words. He said, therefore, everything in Hebrew means something. And He said, it's very revealing to see what is not in Hebrew, because we have a lot of other languages since Babel.
Sure. Yeah.
But you go back, and by the way, our founding fathers really seem to get this. One of the early pilgrim leaders was a guy named William Bradford. And William Bradford was, he was governor like 30 years of the pilgrims, really godly guy, one of my favorite heroes, very humble man. But one of the things he did in late in life, and he's 30 years of governor, and he's got a long, productive life, church leader. In his last 8 years, he said, I think I'm going to take up the study of Hebrew. Now, Hebrew was a dead language at that point. So Hebrew's a dead language. He said, I want to take up a study. I want to hear what it sounded like when Adam named the animals. I want to hear what he called them, because he named them in Hebrew. And so the last 8 years of his life, he learns the Hebrew language, and he starts writing out the book of Genesis in Hebrew so that he can hear what those were. And so had that background, my rabbi friend said, you know, for example, in Hebrew, you cannot say, it is impossible to say, it is impossible to use the word coincidence. That word doesn't exist in Hebrew, because it never crossed God's mind that anything was a coincidence. He orders, He directs, He plants. It's all a purpose. Now, that was a lucky break. You'll never hear God say that. Oh, that was a coincidence. I can't believe you showed up at the same time. That wasn't coincidence. God ordered your steps. So in the Hebrew language, you can't say the word coincidence because coincidence does not exist. Ooh, that's deep. Now, I can stay on that a long time. He said also in Hebrew, you can't say the word fair. The word fair doesn't exist. God's really not into what's fair because that's subjective. What happened to Jesus wasn't fair. Did it work salvation for all the world? What happened to Joseph wasn't fair. Did it save God's people and get them out of the death of the drought that was there? What happened to Job wasn't fair. Did God bless him twice? You know, fair has nothing to do with it. And so you can't say the word fair. Another word you can't say is the word adolescent, because they never thought there was a time when you would train somebody to be immature. You wanted them to be, and that's why 1 John says, young men, I write, it's not boys, it's young men. You know, you're supposed to be young men.
Yeah.
And so that was the way we had in early marriage. You know that in early America, we have guys like John Witherspoon signed the Declaration, and John Trumbull, he Supreme Court Justice in Connecticut. They finished reading the King James Bible when they were 4 years old, from cover to cover. Nobody told them they couldn't do that. We didn't, wait, after you get past your adolescence, once you get to be 18, 19, 20, you can, no, we had expectations. And so if Samuel is 6 years old, when he goes and tells Eli, "I've had a word from the Lord for you, Eli, here's what God says," you know, that just blows, and David being perhaps 11, 12, 13, when he killed the lion and the bear, we would never think like that today.
Isn't that something?
And all that to lead up to this, and by the way, one other one he points out, you can't say the word rights in Hebrew. There are no rights. God talks about responsibility. See, he doesn't talk about, you don't have a right to this. You have a duty to do some things. And so we in America, we talk about our rights. I've got my right. No, you've got a responsibility. You need to be doing some, as you said, you don't work, you don't eat. You got a responsibility to work. If you do that, God will take care. So, but the word I wanted to focus on, sit in the background all this, is he says in Hebrew, you cannot say the word retirement. It doesn't exist. It never crossed God's mind that there would be a time in your life when you would not be productive, that there would be a time in your life when you would just sit back and soak everything in. You're supposed to be giving. You're supposed to be productive. You're supposed to be subduing and taking dominion. And if that means you have to change your career every 20 years, and you know, at 40 years old, so what? I put 20 years into this business. I'm going to start a new business now. I'm going to do something. And I put 20 years in that. I'm 60 now. I'm going to start my third career. Man, you're always going to be. And the
Moses did not step into God's plan for him till he was
80 years old. And he spent 40 years studying how to, from the time God called him, he spends 40 years on the backside of the wilderness learning how to hear from God, learning how to do all the things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jesus is the same way. He you know, takes that period of time where he's under the learning. And that's one of the things that really, as believers, we have got to get to the point of doing. And that is we have to get a love of knowledge, a love of learning. Because God's always wanting to teach us new things, and that even means new careers at times. And you look at the book of Proverbs, how often it talks about loving knowledge and loving learning. And so, you know, I put 20 years in at Dow. I think I'm going to go be a missionary for the next 15 years. And then once I get done with that, I'm going to be a school teacher. Think of all those kids that need the knowledge I've got. I'm 55 years old.
David, I've noticed this in the 48 and a half years now I've been in this ministry, and coming up on 79 years old, and I've heard the lies of the devil over this, when he starts poking at you when you get about 65, you know, and that whole line of bull that he puts out.
That's right.
And but then I've noticed this, that in the kingdom of God, and I seek the Lord, I'm yours to command, sir. And whatever he commands me to do, then I already know I can do it.
That's right.
But I can't do it without the Word, and I can't do it without the Spirit of God, and I can't do it without faith.
Yeah.
But in those things, it's doable for me because he told me to do it.
That's right.
Well, I've noticed, excuse me, that it doesn't go like this, and then stop.
That's right.
And then go like that. No, you're going like this, and you have these little branches that start coming off of what you're
That's
doing.
Right.
And the next thing you know, there's something, there's a branch off of what you're doing that's going out this way, and the Word of the Lord is working there, and it begins to open doors here, and it begins to open doors there, and all of these things are functioning and taking place. And as you walk in them, they are adding different empowerments.
That's right.
The anointing that's in you and on you, it's still the same anointing, but it's growing, it's getting larger.
New areas you didn't think you'd ever get into.
I never even thought about it.
Never even dreamed I'd be doing what I'm doing.
Like what I was talking about yesterday, George just read a scripture, Acts 4, in church.
Yeah.
And when I heard it, it triggered on the inside of me that here is a renewed calling to the healing ministry. And all of a sudden, it's like it was when I first heard it. I was a student there at ORU, and Brother Roberts walked into that invalid room and said, "You're going to do the praying, and you're going to do the laying on of hands." And what? I'm not even out there in the front. I'm back here where the most serious cases are. And he tells, and he looked at me, he said, don't worry about it. I'll be here. If you make a mistake, I'll fix it. And associating with him, I got so excited about it. Well,
but that was something new in your life.
Yeah.
It was going into a new realm and taking you in a new direction, and you're willing to do that. You're willing to step out and do things you had never done before at that point.
And he stirred me up again.
That's right. The same thing. It's going to be some new stuff. It won't be the same stuff you've been doing.
We were in Cobo Hall in Detroit. And Brother Bob DeWeese, Oral Roberts' associate evangelist, and he was my boss when we were on the field. He was captain of the airplane, and I worked for him as co-pilot of the airplane, and then I was working for him then all the time. You couldn't go get a prayer card to be prayed for at night in the prayer line without you got the prayer card in a daytime service. You couldn't get in that prayer line without having been under the Word of God in the day services. And Brother DeWeese preached the day service. We had thousands of people get baptized in the Holy Ghost in there. It was just marvelous. Well, he came to me and he said, Kenneth, we got so many people here. He said, well, there's no way we're going to get them all prayed for in the night service. He said, I'm going to set you up a prayer line. You lay hands on them. Well, I'd experienced enough by now in what I was doing with Brother Roberts in the healing room. I thought, let me at them.
<That's right.
laughs> Glory
That's
to
right.
God. And it wasn't but a month or two before, I didn't know whether I wanted in this or not. But the anointing to do it had begun, and I was so excited about it. Well, there was a woman walked up in front of me, and this thing, it came out of her hairline. So it started up here where you couldn't see it. It came out and covered her forehead on that side, and across the top of her eye. Her eye was almost covered with it, and it was a malignant growth. And oh, it was angry looking, purple, blue, red veins looking things in it. And when I saw it, it's just the compassion of God. It makes you just want to attack it, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, in the name of Jesus, and I touched it like that, and it's gone. Mm. My mother was there in that meeting, and I prayed for a lot of people that day. She had come up and she was standing behind me and had her hands in my back praying in the Spirit to help hold me up, you know, and strengthen me. And that tent anointing, as Brother Roberts called it, it just kind of just suck all the air out of the room, you know. When it manifested like that, it just, oh dear God. My mother just kind of jumped. She said, where'd that go? And I thought, I don't know. But I went on about my business.
Yeah.
Well, later I inquired of the Lord about it. He told me, he said, my word created all matter. I sent my word and it healed them. Mm-hmm. He said, my word, when that anointing made contact with that thing, he said, the power of my word dematerialized it. Mm-hmm. And it just went into the nothingness of the spirit realm. Just wasn't material anymore. Okay. And think about, hey, you think that'd be fun? Oh, yeah. You get to where you get hungry for it.
Yeah.
Now, it's
But that's not what it was a couple months before when you started out that thing.
No, yeah. Man. I thought, what? I ain't never prayed for anybody like this. Yeah. What am I going to do? Well, he like I said, he laughed and said, don't worry about it. I'll fix it if you mess it up. But the first one we laid hands on, before I got finished praying, man, that anointing came on him and he just roared. And you know, I talked about it last week. And this woman had a tumor in her stomach. And the power of that, he shouted and everything in that room just, whoa. You can't copy that.
Yeah.
You can shout with all your might. You can't do it. I heard a little a little Navajo woman do that one time in a meeting among the American Indians, and I was standing there, I was conducting the service, and I was laying in. This little tiny thing. I mean, Gloria said later, she said, "My God, did you hear that woman?" Yeah. But see, that anointing came on her, and she shook that whole. In fact, we were in a tent. Glory to God. I hadn't thought about that until right then. But my point is, you get into what He's called you to do, and whether it's laying hands on the sick, or whether it's where God drops it in you and shows you how to do something.
Or running for office.
Oh!
Oh, man, that
and
would be
show you what to do and what to say.
And how, that's right.
Have more fun when you ever had in your life.
That's right. When you start,
yes.
It's like, oh, no, not that.
I got to read this. Exodus 36, God has set up to build that tabernacle out there in the desert, man. I mean, He's out in the middle of nowhere building the biggest tent that ever happened, you know, and He's going to manifest His glory in it. And these people, all these people have just come out of Egypt, and they've been making bricks, man.
They're all slaves.
They're slaves.
They're at the bottom.
Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man or obedient-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that He had commanded. Mm-hmm. He told Moses to go build that thing, mm-hmm. and He gave him all of the blueprints of it, and there was a lot of gold work in this. This is the man right here, Aholiab, built the ark. One day, he don't know anything.
That's right.
The next day, he is the most outstanding gold work craftsman in the world.
He used to be laying bricks. He was building bricks,
yeah,
and making bricks.
Out of mud.
And you built the ark? How did...
And David, their families, the descendants of these men chose to do what God
told them
to do. They are still
the best
mm-hmm. craftsmen in gems, gold, silver, wood.
God will equip you for what He calls you for. He tells you to
do it.
You just say, yes, sir, and take off. You're going to have some learning law. And if He puts that in supernaturally, what do you care? You just say, yeah, you choose to do what He wants you to do, and He'll take care of making that work.
And you'll have more fun learning
And you'll have more fun.
Because you'll know
you're
things.
You're in the right spot.
You'll know things you didn't know.
That's right. That's right.
We're out of time again. David and I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.